can you tell me the story again?
Let's freeze up.
Go ahead.
Go. Okay, all right. We are alive.
Woohoo!
Yep, we survived another week.
We did.
Some of us, it was more of a struggle than others, but but
no
we're
comment.
There. We got there, right? So,
no comment.
So, yeah. So, hey, everybody, welcome back to the amazing channel that is Grandma Tell Me a Scary Story, the podcast.
Yes, we're a podcast. That's all we are. That's all we're ever going to be.
Yep, yep.
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I don't, personally.
We could become a motion picture of some kind.
We could. Let me see here. I doubt it, but I'm just checking to see if there's any new reviews on at least Apple Podcast Review, because that's the only one I can find easy peasy.
You didn't look before?
No, I surely should have. I had plenty of time to. But yeah. I didn't, because I'm
lying. I made you wait like an hour.
So. I know. I just spent the time watching videos on YouTube.
You could have had dinner. You could have looked up reviews.
I probably could have updated
your computer.
I could have. I didn't do any of that.
Oh, too bad for you.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't see any reviews. So we'll just go right into, I guess first did we introduce ourselves? I know I said welcome to the channel. I didn't think I introduced us, though.
No.
I mean, at this point, longtime listeners know that my pathetic voice is the voice of Jeff.
I thought you were going to say the voice of reason. I don't know why. It wouldn't make much sense.
Knowing me, that doesn't work. No.
No, it doesn't. Well, I guess I'm Rachel then.
Yeah. That's the nice thing about it. There's only two choices, and I took the first one.
Well, I got the best one.
I mean, I'm not disputing that, but I'm just saying.
You're just going to have to excuse all my coughing.
That's fine. That's okay. I'm sure I'll have some coughing here. Because, yeah. I've had a cough for like 3 weeks. It's just a cough. Like, that's the only thing it is.
I've got the plague. It's fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess now that we've got that out of the way. So, let's see. We've said our names. We've said the show. I guess now the only thing left to do is get into the topic at hand, I guess.
I guess. No, no small talk today.
I mean, we can do small talk, but...
I feel like that's better left off the air today.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Probably best for both of our jobs.
Yeah, probably. So yeah. There.
All right. So yeah, we'll go straight into this then. All right.
Right.
So today I'm going to be talking about a secret society.
Ooh.
Yes. Called the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn.
You think I've heard of that one?
Probably. I know there's a topic that I looked at first. That's how I found this. I looked up this topic of like this, I think in like the late 1800s or early 1900s of this like occultist in like Ireland or Scotland that got murdered. That was a part of this order. And like there was a lot of information on the murder itself. So I was like, okay, well, we're going to focus on this order because this sounds interesting.
Right.
So.
It sounds familiar, but maybe it's just, like, maybe part of the name I've heard somewhere else, like a different secret society? Maybe not, though.
It's possible. I mean, they have quite a few nicknames.
So I don't know anything about it, as far as I know, but the name sounds familiar.
Yes. So,
I'm excited.
So the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, a.k.a., and I'm going to butcher this Latin, so bear with me.
Okay. Right.
We have Ordo Hermeticus. Aurorae.
Okay, that sounded decent. I'm not fluent in Latin. It's been more years than I'd like to think since I was in Latin.
Yeah. So that's like their full Latin name. They're more colloquially known just as Golden Dawn rather than that whole Hermetic Order, yada, 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 yada. Mm-hmm. And obviously, of course, the Latin for that is Aurora Aurorae.
That sounds like fun. Sounds like a video game or a drinking game.
Or a Harry Potter spell.
Okay, or a Harry Potter spell, but apparently I was thinking of a drinking game.
Well, the Harry Potter spell is more in line because it's a secret society that was devoted to the study And even more importantly, for our purposes, the practice of the occult, metaphysics, and the paranormal.
Oh, I like it. I'm going to join.
Well, okay.
Maybe not.
We'll get to it.
Oh, man. You always do that to me. You make it sound like I want to join. And then they're like, and we eat people. And I'm like, oh, man.
And we'll get to it. I know. I know. I know what I do. There's a it's part of the cell.
I want to join.
So it was said to have magical properties. The order operated in Great Britain during the late 19th and early 20th centuries. It was devoted to rituals and spiritual development. And present day, many concepts can be seen in the modern practices of Wicca and Thelmia, I think is how you pronounce it.
I don't know that one.
I don't really either. It's not one that I looked into. I might look into it for another episode.
It sounds like something we could look into, though.
Yeah. Both of these practices are said to be inspired by the Golden Dawn.
Huh.
So.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. According to some, this society is actually the largest influencer of 20th century occultism.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I still want to join so far.
Yeah, well, I'll spare you the suspense. It's not like they eat people. They don't eat people. They don't break rule number one.
Okay. So yeah. I can still join.
You could.
Okay. Maybe.
Right, maybe.
I don't know.
So their founders were three men named William Robert Woodman.
Okay.
William Wynne Westcott. I really liked alliteration.
Yeah.
Except for this last guy whose name was Samuel Liddell Mathers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like the WWW.
Yeah, the WWW, that one, I was like, oh, okay.
World Wide Web.
Yeah. So they were all Freemasons.
Were they really?
Yes.
No, I can't join, damn it.
No.
You kicked me out.
No. We'll get into this, but no.
No. Okay.
So, Westcott is believed to be the driving force behind the founding of the Golden Dawn.
Interesting.
So, the system and ranks were akin to Masonic lodges from which the founders came from, but the key difference between them and the Freemasons is that women were allowed equal access in the Golden Dawn.
Oh, heck yeah! I'm back in!
Yes.
Let's bring back the order. Start my own lodge.
You could. You'd have to pay a fee, but you could.
Yeah. Maybe I can run it out of my basement.
Maybe. Give that thing some use.
Yeah.
The actual order itself is comprised of three separate orders. The first one is called the Golden Dawn.
Okay.
Which focused on philosophy. Basically the process of communing with God directly through ritual.
Okay.
And using that communication with God to foster personal growth.
All right.
Which doesn't sound bad so far.
Like, no, I mean, it sounds pretty normal.
Yeah. So this was done through an intense focus on the four elements at the time. So earth, wind, fire, and water.
Right.
As well as some basic study of astrology.
Okay.
Tarot divination.
Okay, like the cards?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I already know how to do this stuff.
And geomancy.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
Shoot, you lost. I'm 2 for 3. I'm already a pretty good member.
Well, no. So here's the thing. You study this stuff in there. So it's like they'll teach you.
Oh, see? They'll teach you it. I'm already like ahead of the class.
Yeah, see?
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's just good for me.
So the second order is known as the Inner Auror. Order, not Auror. Sorry, I'm looking ahead to I'm looking ahead to the Latin again that I have to read.
Gotcha.
Because I'm dumb and decided that I want to read the Latin because I like to embarrass myself.
I mean, that's okay. Why not? Do it.
Yeah. So this is called, so it's the Inner Order. The Latin is the Rose Rubae et Ore Crucis, or Crucis, which in English is Ruby Rose and Golden Cross.
I like it. It sounds fancy.
It does. Well, it sounds really hard to pronounce for somebody who has no Latin background, but whatever. I muddled my way through it. We're fine. So the second order itself, that might have been my house, who knows?
No, that was my desk being attacked by a cat.
Okay.
The whole thing.
Okay. Gotcha. So this inner order taught scrying, astral travel, and alchemy.
Okay, so I don't know how to do those things, but at least I know what they are.
And they'll teach you.
I like the astral travel and the alchemy because I want gold.
Right, who doesn't?
I don't really care about the other part, but like...
Yeah, I would like gold, even though I think that's like one of the forbidden rules of alchemy is to make gold.
I mean, I thought that was the whole point of alchemy.
No, I think it was, can we do it? But they like, if you, like, maybe I'm thinking, I'm also kind of confounding it with the anime and the manga Full Metal Alchemist, where that's one of the rules, like, you can't
make gold. I've never watched that, but I do know that the point of alchemy is to make gold so you can be rich.
Yes. Yes, in the real world.
Yeah, in the real world. I'm not talking about in your TV show.
In my fake world, yes.
Yeah, in the fake world. In the real world, that's what you use alchemy for, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Basically, that's what I would use it for.
Yeah, why not? Everyone else.
Yeah. So the third order, because there's three.
Right.
Is called the Secret Chiefs.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
There's no Latin thing for it. I mean, I'm sure there is like a Latin word for secret chiefs, but
sure.
It's not what they went by, which I found interesting. So I didn't put this actually in my notes, but like their symbol is a cross. So like, I guess like the base of it is the first order, then like the arms would be the second, and then the very top is where the third order is.
Okay.
Anyway, the secret chiefs supposedly were the ones who directed the lower order's activities via spiritual communication with the leaders of the second order. So the secret chiefs were like more astral people, like they weren't actually.
So they were just like telling you telepathically, hey, go do this?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, I might have mistyped it, but I like the idea was basically because later on, I think it goes like the secret chiefs all like convene in this room and they have like a ritual thing where they commune with the divine who tells them how to do. And then they spread that to the others of the orders.
Yeah, see, I like the other two orders better so far. They sound more fun.
Exactly. Well, ideally, it's supposed to, by the time you reach the third order, you know everything and you're very practiced at it. So you don't need to learn anymore, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so now that we've done, as always with me, now that we've done our fun overview, we're going to talk about the foundation.
Cool.
Yeah. So, now that we've got the basic framework, on to the good stuff.
Yeah.
So no order. Yeah. So no order is complete without rules and regulations.
Boring.
Yes. And for the Golden Dawn, they used this thing called the Cipher Manuscripts.
Okay.
Which were a collection of documents that outlined a series of initiation rituals into the occult.
Mm-hmm.
It was written in the Trithmis cipher and contained a curriculum of teachings grading upwards that included lessons in Hermetic Kabbalah, astrology, occult tarot, geomancy, and alchemy. And I probably butchered several things in there, particularly that Kabbalah. I probably messed that up, but that's whatever.
Sounds right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kabbalah.
If I just kept going and nobody would have known. Nobody would have cared.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. So. Basic bookkeeping says that the original manuscripts were passed on from a Masonic scholar to a British occult writer named Reverend A.F.A. Woodward.
Okay.
It does not expound upon what the AFA stands for.
Rude.
But he is kind of considered the fourth or like the silent founder, you know, because he was the one that had these manuscripts that were the that became the rules for the order.
Okay. Silent founder.
Yeah, right. So Woodford died shortly after the order was established, which is why, kind of why I gave him that title of silent founder, because you can't really be a part of it if you're dead.
No, not really.
Yeah, it makes it a little more challenging.
Although I guess, you know, if they're communicating spiritually and everything, couldn't he, like, still be giving them commands or something?
He could be, I guess. That's a flaw in their logic, yes.
I mean, I'm just saying.
But Woodford was unimpressed with these documents when he first got them. So he gave them to our WWW guy in February of 1886. And Westcott decoded them in 1887.
Okay.
He then called his two buddies in for a second opinion to, you know, just be like, hey, is this what I think it is? And basically the two men were like, yeah, we think so. And they worked together to turn the manuscripts after it had been decoded into a kind of like a rubric or outline for actually how to teach the information contained within.
Cool.
Mathers, who was the third guy I listed, yeah, Samuel Liddell Mathers, he was the one that actually is usually given credit for designing the official curriculum and rituals for the Second Order. So I think the two of them worked together to get the First Order's rituals down, and then Mathers made the advanced stage courses, basically.
Huh.
Yeah. So, in October of 1887, Westcott supposedly was in correspondence with a German countess, and Rosicrucian, who is somebody that is said to possess esoteric wisdom that has been handed down from the ancient times.
I've heard the word.
Okay. Who I guess she found the now decoded manuscripts. She claimed to be able to communicate to the supernatural entities known as the Secret Chiefs, who were considered the authority over the esoteric wisdom that she had. And so the Countess basically said that the Secret Chiefs were cool with this and gave him permission to found the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. And she also confirmed the honorary grade of Adeptus Exemptus on both him, Mathers, and Woodman. And it was decided that the temple would have five grades that were outlined in the manuscript. So, how fun is that?
I mean, pretty fun.
In 1888, the first temple was founded in London. And as I stated earlier, women were allowed and very much welcome to participate in this order.
Good.
At this time, the order was focused more on philosophy and metaphysical teaching. So it was more about how to improve yourself as a person to kind of help improve society rather than whatever the Masonic Lodge is about.
I'm not positive about that one. I think they do stuff to help society too.
Yeah, they do a lot of that. I just don't know, like, if that's their sole focus or if their focus is more on, like, the fraternal brotherhood of the trades and stuff like that, because I know a lot of tradesmen are in it.
Right. I don't know. It probably depends on, honestly, I would say it would probably depend on the member themselves.
I would too, yeah. I know, I think this order as a whole just had the focus more on that than...
Yeah. No, because yeah. I know that's a pretty big focus, though, like, why a lot of people join it is for the community aspect of it, like, helping in your community and all that stuff, plus networking, I guess, too, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure. I've never been a member.
Yeah. So, initially, with its founding, the Golden Dawn, really, they didn't do a lot of magical practices. They just had the occasional ritual and meditation.
Okay.
So, but as I think they expanded, they kind of got more into that sort of stuff because they were probably like, okay, now that we're kind of large enough, we can kind of do more of our stuff that might have been considered fringe at during the Victorian era. So, I'm not sure about that. I'm just making that up.
That's fine. But
in 1892, the order expanded and the Second Order/Inner Order was established. And it consisted of people that had completed the entire coursework of the First Order and then were granted that special rank, I'm guessing, from people like Westcott, Mathers, and Woodman, who are, you know, really, really high up in this thing. And an additional 4 temples were constructed in what is called Weston-super-Mare.
Okay.
Bradford, Edinburgh, and Paris.
Okay.
So I think Weston-super-Mare is now Weston. I'm not 100% certain. I should have wrote that in my notes, but I didn't. I kept the original name of the community.
How dare you?
I know, right? I'm an awful person.
Seriously.
Yes. So now we're going to get into the secret chiefs. So basically in 1890, Westcott had stopped getting letters from his German countess, which sounds a lot more racy than it actually is.
Forgot about that part.
Yeah. So according to him, he got a letter from her companions who were part of the esoteric wisdom. Basically that she had died and that while she had said it was okay to start this order, they disagreed with her and were like, no, this is bad and you need to stop. And basically they said, if you don't stop, you're going to have to get your supernatural guidance on your own terms. You can't ask us anymore. We're not going to help you.
Oh,
yes.
Like land down the law.
Yeah. So, no surprise to anybody. And 1892, Westcott professed that he had made contact with the secret chiefs. And he later supplied the method to do so to the Second Order so that they could also communicate with them. Supposedly, the ritual to communicate with the secret chiefs is based on a gentleman by the name of Christian Rosenkreuz's tomb.
That's so, his name?
Yes, his name is Christian Rosenkreuz. He was a German man, I believe.
Okay.
So the legend is that his tomb was a 7-sided chamber with a sarcophagus in its center. And when somebody discovered the sarcophagus, they found that the body was preserved perfectly, even though it had been buried over 120 years ago.
Airtight, yes.
So, a similar room was created and became known as the Vault of Adepts. And it was controlled by the Inner Order.
Mm-hmm.
So, there we go.
There we go.
Yep. So, some followers of the Golden Dawn tradition believe that the secret chiefs were really more meant to be like a symbolic representation of the spiritual esotericism that was practiced.
Mm-hmm.
As the term kind of came to mean a great leader or teacher of a spiritual path that found its way into the order, basically.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, so the secret chiefs were just like a title that you gave to like somebody who'd been at the order for a while and was very competent and proficient in things they taught.
Cool. So,
yes. Cool. Cool indeed. So now we're going to get into the Order's sweet, sweet golden age.
Oh, it's the golden age.
Yes. So by the mid-1890s, bit of clever wordplay here on my part, the Golden Dawn had become a golden day.
Funny.
They were, yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
They were an established organization in Great Britain with well over 100 members. Spanning the entirety of Victorian society. So they had 4 people, rich people, you know, they had
all the people.
all the peoples. They were very accepting, which is really rare to see in Victorian society.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they probably were, I would say, really accepting for their standards. Probably by today's standards, they were not so much, but whatever. Let's take it where we can get it with the Victorians. So in 1896 or 97, Westcott severed all ties with the organization. And so there's some speculation as to why he did this, but the prevailing theory is that he lost some papers in a hansom cab, which were then linked to him. And when his employers found out, basically, he was involved in the society, they told him, hey, you either quit your club or we're going to fire you. And this is kind of interesting because his job was as a coroner. So he's practicing all this occult stuff, and he's also dealing with dead bodies on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that sounds more fishy. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So his departure opened the door for an actress by the name of Florence Farr to become the chief adept at one of the temples.
Okay.
Which I thought was cool because, you know, it's a lady being the head of an organization in Victorian society.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And a Dr. Henry B. Polenbury, that's a long name.
That is a long name.
Became a Cancellarius in place of Westcott. Cancellarius is a chief of the order.
Okay.
So he became one of the secret chiefs, I guess.
Oh, fancy.
Right. So the other two members, I'm going to scroll up to get their names again because I didn't keep them all down there. But so at this point, Westcott's been uncertain when removed because it's like your livelihood of this club.
Mm-hmm.
Woodman at this point has also stepped away from the club. He's like, I think he's probably like, okay, well, this was fun for a while, but I'm done now.
Right.
So the only person left for the club that was still a founding member was Mr. Mathers.
Right. The non-W.
Yes. However, his personality caused a lot of friction. Because he was, I guess, an abrasive guy. And he was frequently absent from activities at the Central Lodge, which created quite a few challengers to his authority in the Second Order. And, you know, why are we going to support a guy that's never here, never doing stuff? So, on that note, we are going to take a quick break, and then we are going to talk about the fall of the Order and some more interesting information, and then we'll be done.
Cool. Sounds good.
Cool. So, we will... Starting. All right, we're back.
Woo!
Back from break. It was an exciting break. Yep, it was a good break. So, yes. So, the Order of Golden Dawn has had its golden age. It's been all great and standy. Now there's only one founding member left, and he's kind of a dick.
Great.
So, on to what I have affectionately called Revolution.
Revolution!
Yes. So, at the end of 1899, adepts at two of the five temples, and adepts were like the leaders of the temple. So, 40% of the leadership of this order were unhappy with the way Mathers was conducting himself.
Oh.
Along with his friendship with the founder of Thelema.
Okay.
Because the founder at the time was a social pariah.
Oh.
His company was considered very undesirable. It was a black spot on whatever he was associated with.
Right. That sounds like fun. Be a black spot on the... I don't know. Not a black spot of anything. Thank you.
Yes. Also, the Adepts wanted to make contact with the secret chiefs themselves rather than relying on Mathers, because I guess at this time Mathers was closely guarding the secret of how to contact them, because of course, that was kind of his...
Well, right, and if he's the only one who can contact them, they can't kick him out, because...
Exactly.
I see what game he's playing. I got it.
Yes. There was also some infighting in one of the temples, as the leader of that temple had a clique, kind of. So they had a group of people in the order that they preferred, and, you know, they kind of gave special treatment to versus the others.
So it's like high school.
Yes.
I see.
So the final straw that kind of got them to revolt was Mathers getting his friend, his undesirable friend, into the society, despite the temple's leadership refusing him initially. Basically, he said, yeah, no, I don't care about you guys, even though you guys, we've given you the autonomy to decide membership yourself. I'm overruling you.
Oh, yeah, he seems fun.
Yes. So an inquest was called and made, and Mathers refused to provide any documentation and would not even acknowledge the investigation.
Oh.
Yes. Which might sound familiar. Anyway.
No comment.
Yeah. So on March 29th, 1900, a general meeting was called with everybody in the order, basically, to remove Mathers as chief and to expel him from the order.
Okay.
It was, I think, approved. But it was also during this time that other lodges started to fracture and split as the turmoil mounted. So, you know, you had schisms in every order. Some people were like, whatever. Some people were like, no, that's not okay. So some people would actually... We got to the point where some people in temples made their own separate temples.
Oh.
And Mathers, realizing that it would be impossible to bring the order back into its previous structure, attempted to reestablish himself in the central slash founding temple, so the one in London.
Oh.
But at this time, there were very few people that were still loyal to him.
Right, because he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah. However, Mathers did name this branch of loyalists the Alpha et Omega. Okay. And he also devoted more of his time into expanding the order into the Americas.
Hmm.
Which is, I think, why he was absent a lot, is because he was over in America trying to establish the order over there. So it wasn't like he was just, like, not showing up. He just...
just out of office for the day.
Yeah. So, and by the time World War I came about, he had two or three temples in the United States.
Oh.
Yes.
Fancy.
Yes. Were
like there already Masonic lodges in the United States at that point?
I believe so at that point, because the Masons.
That was what, 19 something?
It was around World War I, so like, early, okay, yeah. So like, yeah, like, definitely there's some lodges,
put together the years.
So by the end of the 1930s, most of the temples were closed and no longer in use.
Boo.
But the order itself would kind of like limp along really until the 1970s.
Okay.
So
we'll have to like resurrect it in my basement.
Yeah. Well, there is a contemporary version of the order that we'll get into here in just a couple minutes, but the first thing we're going to talk about the structure and grades of the order.
Hmm.
Yes. So as I said, there are three orders. The first order, Golden Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Neophyte, Zalator, Thericus, Practicus, the Philosophus. And then we have just what's known as the intermediate, which is like a portal grade, which I guess is what the grade you are before you go to the second order.
Okay.
So, and they each came with a pairing of numbers that related to the Tree of Life, which is kind of how they track progress.
Okay.
So the first step, the first number there, so like for Neophyte, you would be zero, it would be like 0, 10. Because you're, it was basically the first number is the number of steps you are from the bottom.
Okay.
And the second number was the number of steps you were from the top.
Okay.
So you'd go from 0, 10 to the highest you go is 10, 0.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So in the second order, the Ruby Rose had Adeptus Minor, Adeptus Major, and Adeptus Exemptus.
Oh, I like that one.
Let me just make sure I got that right. That was Ruby Rose. Yes, Ruby Rose. Okay. I was like, if I'm going to be real embarrassed, it was Ruby Cross. So anyway, and then the third order, which would be the Secret Chiefs, you had Magister Templi, Magus, and then Ipsimus. And then, like I said, each one came with a pairing of numbers that represented how high you were in the hierarchy. And the first order grades were related to the four elements. So basically, you would have coursework on one of the four elements of study, and then you need to pass a written as well as a practical examination to advance. And then I think the second grade is where they focused on more of like the occult, the tarot, and stuff like that, at least in a more concentrated setting. And then, as I stated earlier, the portal grade was an in-between grade that separated the first and second order. So, and then now we're going to, I'm just going to list a few members, known or alleged members of the order back in the day. So we have a Miss Sarah Allgood, who was an Irish stage actress and American film actress.
Cool.
We have a Mr. Algernon Blackwood, who was an English writer and radio broadcaster.
Name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we've read something of his, but I'm not sure what.
Yeah, but the name does sound familiar.
Yeah. This name should sound really familiar. We have one Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I know that name.
Yes. As I stated earlier in this, a London stage actress and musician by the name of Florence Farr. She was the one who was promoted to leader of the temple after one of the members left.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Mr. Bram Stoker. And the last person that I wrote down, because I was only like, I'm going to put like 5 or 6, is a Miss Violet Tweeddale, who was a Scottish author.
I like the name.
Yeah.
I like all these writers.
Yeah, so I'm kind of getting the impression that the Masonic Freemasons was more for like tradesmen, you know, like bricklayers and stuff like that. Yeah,
this is more like...
Yeah, like art, the literary side of things.
Yeah.
That's the impression I'm getting from it, too.
That's definitely what it sounds like. It's like almost like, I don't know. I'm sure there are other people, but like, I feel like it's like a weird writer's club.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, because I mean, one of the founders was a coroner, so obviously he wasn't a writer, but like, he definitely didn't have like a, I would say, desirable profession.
Sure. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting, too, that a lot of the people were writers or actors. So.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So the last thing we'll talk about is the contemporary order of the Golden Dawn.
Oh, yeah. The one that I'm going to start in my basement.
Yes. Or at least a temple of it.
Yeah.
So no original temple survived the 1970s.
That's kind
of... There are two notable organizations who revived the teachings and the rituals of the Order of the Golden Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn Incorporated.
Oh, Incorporated.
Yes. And Open Source Order of the Golden Dawn.
Are they like a coding group? That's what it sounds like.
Yes, actually they were. They closed in 2019. I think because they completed whatever software project they were working on.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. So there is a contemporary order that you can apply to, and they will take you. I think they are the ones that don't require you to actually, like, I think the open source order, that one, I think another thing that kind of hurt them is you couldn't become a member unless you flew to California and did the initiation ritual, and then you had to go to in-person meetings. Like, you couldn't, like, do a Zoom call or anything like they had.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe they closed because of COVID. Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Or if they finished their program, I guess, then they were mission complete.
Yeah. I'm not sure why they closed, but yeah, that is in a very brief, but I'm sure to what some people felt like a very long nutshell of the Order of the Golden Dawn.
I like that. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice to cover like a secret order, or kind of like, I don't want to call it a cult, but it's kind of nice to discover something that wasn't like super sketchy, like after it got established. Like, I'm sure there was some sketchy stuff going on.
Of course.
But
no, I like it. It just reminded me of a writer society or something that we would both be part of.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is that.
I like it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fun. And like I said, it was one of those ones that I discovered looking for another thing that I was like, there's not a lot on this. And
those are always like the fun ones, though, like the random things that like.
Yeah, that you didn't expect.
Yeah. Plus, I like that this is a group that I want to join, and I still want to join at the end.
Yeah, because usually I do that happens. Bait and switch. Yeah, usually I do that that bait and switch hard.
I was waiting for that. Like, well, you know, they have a practice of like human eating or sacrifices, or I don't know.
Yeah, something involving some terrible stuff to do to other people. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not cool with that one.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So that's everything I got. Do we have any I guess housekeeping we need to worry about? For the show, not for our own personal homes.
I got a lot to do here. No, I think we're good for now.
All right.
Yeah. I think we're okay.
Well, I will say to everybody out there, if you like what you just heard, listen to some more, share it with friends, leave us a review. I'll read any of the reviews, even if they're one stars, because I honestly don't care. Those are probably the funny ones.
I might care, but I just won't tell you about it.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, leave us a review. If you don't like us, share us with people you don't like.
Yeah, share us with your enemies.
Like, why not? Why does it hurt?
Yeah, as always, we don't necessarily care if we grow out of enjoyment or spite, but we want to grow.
I mean, spite might work.
Yeah, I mean.
Depends on your mood.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got nothing else for now.
All right, well, I guess then on that note, everybody, I have been Jeff.
And I've been Rachel.
And this has been Grandma Tell Me a Scary Story. Good night.
Good night, Grandma.